Father, we thank you again to know how much you care for us. Thank you for the wonderful verse in John 3:16. You loved the world so much, you gave your only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you for this book that we learn and have the facts from you that are so real, more real than anything we see in the physical eye when we look through the eyes of faith. Bless us tonight, your people who turn aside the things of the world and come back on this Mother's Day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bible and turn to John chapter 17. We've been in this chapter on Wednesday night study, and I'm not going to teach from this chapter per se, but verse, but I want to use it as a reference point for the message tonight for a few minutes, and it won't be too long, Lord willing. If you look with me about John 17, verse 14 to 21, I want to read these few verses. And the scripture says in verse 14, "And I have given," Jesus speaking, "I have given them thy word, and thy and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world," Jesus prayed, but he said that thou should keep them from the evil. "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Isn't that a wonderful thought? We should not be living as this will of the world either. He says, "In my sight, they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world." He said, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." Then he says, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world." A lot of them not going, but he says, "I've sent them anyhow. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." By the way, that's you and I. And he said in verse 21, "That they may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Verse 24 again. And he said, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Now, the topic I want to preach tonight for just a few minutes, it comes from these verses. It's simply this. In this world, they have what they call scientific facts, which mainly are mostly when it comes to things of the past, and they talk about a billion years ago, is just literally scientific theory. And then they say, you know, that the things of God, which deals in the field of theology, you really have no proof of that other than what you say the scriptures. And I want to speak tonight on theological truth. Are scientific. This is not a book of science, but I'll tell you this, many times science will back the truth of this book, because God, who is the author of this book, made everything you find in science. It's working within his laws, somewhere having another, he set up many years ago. And one amazing thing about it is, when he sets up a law, it'll last until he upsets it. He don't have to do it over again. Everything this universe is running on since he started is still working within the laws of God. I'll tell you this, the rotation and all the things that goes on as far as this earth is concerned, as far as our galaxy is concerned, are working within the laws of God. Man won't listen to that who's apart from God, but we have the scriptures where God gives us his name and his word backs this up. And so we're going to look just for a few minutes on the thought, theological truths that are really scientific to those who believe. When I say that, it can be the ingredients that's needed to evaluate science can also be used theologically by faith on the things of God. The word theology simply means the study of God and his relationship with his universe. Theologically, why do we believe in theological truth? Why do people believe in scientific so-called truths? Because there have been some things that have been written to try to prove. One man's trying to prove to another person, one expert to another person. Well, we as believers believe what God has to say once we understand the facts. Once we understand what he says, we believe what he says. And I don't care if you say you can't at this moment scientifically prove it, it will be one day scientifically proved because it's real. It'll be beyond the proof of science in our particular day. So theology is the study of God and his relationship with his universe. Now, there's six things that you can do here, and when it comes to when you hear anything in theology. The first thing you can do is simply ignore it, as many do. They just say, "Hey, that's not our bag. That's not what we believe. You can believe that religious stuff if you want to, but it's not our bag. So you can ignore it, as many do, or you can misunderstand it, as some do. They just don't have all the facts. They're not interested in the facts, so they go along with the crowd that tries to ignore it. Or you can discount it, as many do. Or you can fight against it, as a lot does. Or you can delay it and say, I'll look at it later. Kind of like, you know, what Agrippa did about when Paul was talking about being saved. He almost was persuaded to be a Christian. You can do those five things, or you can do the sixth thing, explore it. And I have decided many years ago to explore it, because God will reveal those truths to those who love Him enough to explore what He has to say. When it comes to science, though, science is the systematic knowledge derived from observation, study, and experimentation of something. They say we analyze things from observation, and then we study that, and then we put it into a experimentation process to practically evaluate it by experimenting it. Well, if that be the truth, then there's a lot of things in science has not been proven by scientific facts as of yet. Because many things people believe they've never been able to observe. They've never been able to observe it. I mean, you say the earth is, they say the earth is, you know, 15 billion years old. Who was back there? Man didn't exist at that time. Who was there to observe it? No one. So what are they doing? Say, but we have ways to measure it. No, we have ways we think we can measure it, but that's not absolute fact. The second thing is that you have to look at it now to study it. We have a lot of good ways to study things today. And then the third thing to put it into practice as far as life is concerned. Now, in Jesus' time, when He was giving us these truths about His Word and about how it affects us, how it affects the world, and what they would do in turn, and how what He prayed for us at that particular time. At this time, the sharp, cunning Pharisees and minds of lawyers surrounded Jesus in His day. They thought they were smart. And in the eyes of what He could do, they refused to look at Him and believe that He was who He was, though they could not deny the proofs that were before them as they evaluated those proofs. They were doubting, which is a natural thing to do when you don't have all the facts. Doubting is not a bad thing, as long as you don't doubt when the facts are seen. And then there's many other hating, despising, which is a common thing, also when you don't know no better. And so they fail to see that true faith is God holds the meaning of life. True faith in God holds the meaning of life. And when man doesn't have a true faith in the true God, he searches for meanings of life and comes up with all these theories many times in life and documents them for others to believe down through the ages. You see, they fail to see in that day that a man does not sin because he doubts. And we fail to see it today in the secular world. A man does not sin because he doubts. He doubts because he sins as a sinner. Also, they fail to see that lying and stealing and cussing and all these things are done to be a sinner. But it's not. They do it because they are a sinner. They know no better. It's a natural thing to do these things in life. You don't have to teach a child to steal. You don't have to teach them to lie. It's a natural thing. It comes with the birth that we get inherited from the nature of Adam. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience, ladies and gentlemen. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. We are spiritual beings put in a body of flesh to have a relationship with God Himself. Now, people doubt because of sin. And because they doubt, it's interesting to me that there's many who won't doubt what they say is scientific fact when it's really no more than a theory, and yet deny, not even begin to try to doubt, but deny the existence of God or the things that we teach, that the Bible teaches about God. People doubt because of sin, though. Now, doubt can be the prelude of knowledge. Doubt is simply this: I can't believe it right now. There's nothing wrong in doubting if the doubt comes because you don't have all the facts yet. In other words, doubt comes when you say, I can't believe that right now. I just don't understand all there is about it. I can't grasp it right now. I may not understand it, or it may not just have not all the facts up front. But I'll tell you this, if I can see the facts, then the doubt will remove the doubt. Well, matter of fact is, if you see the facts, it will remove the doubts. It will shatter the doubts. On the other hand, though, unbelief is not like doubt. Doubt is said, I can't believe it because I don't have all the facts as of yet in my mind. Unbelief says, I won't believe it. I don't care how many facts you give me. And that's where we're at today. There's a lot of folks saying, I will not believe this message that God has in His Word simply because I just don't believe it. And therefore, Satan fills that gap very fast in a mind that does just that. Doubt is looking for a light on a subject to be at lost or perplexed or not understanding, where unbelief, on the other hand, is content with darkness. It's content with no faith. It's content with faithlessness. Faith allows the soul to go beyond what the eyes cannot see physically. And when a person gets to the point that says, well, I'm not going to allow faith to do that, then they end up disbelieve and in unbelief. Someone said, well, faith is kind of a hard thing because you got faith in that. Well, faith is not so hard in the secular world. People have faith all the time in different things. People have faith of where they work at. Hey, there's a lot of folks working. You got faith, you're going to get paid next week. They ain't paid you beforehand. They paid you after you worked so long. And that's not, I'll tell you what, that's a pretty flimsy faith nowadays the way things are going under. How many of you had faith that you thought you had retirement all set like it should be? You worked many, many years and suddenly you came up and they began to say, your time is gone. Don't tell me that was faith. You work for that. You work for those companies by faith that they're going to do what they said they're doing and I'm not doing it. This world experiences faith all the time. Someone said, what about the Bible faith then? Well, faith is kind of like a three-year-old that you're talking to around a swimming pool. You say now to a three-year-old, don't you get around the pool, you may fall in and drown. And a person that a three-year-old looks at with a puzzle on his face and say, why? And you say, well, you have to understand that you can't breathe water, and if you fall in, you would drown. And the three-year-old said, well, how you know that? And here you are trying to explain something to a three-year-old, and they will never understand it. Because first of all, they've not experienced anything, not seen anything as of yet. They hear you talking, and then you have to say to that three-year-old, listen, honey, you're going to have to believe mother or dad who's talking. You're going to have to believe us. Just trust us. If you fall in, you'll drown. And that's the way God does with us. He comes to a point and He says, you can't understand everything. And I can't explain to you now. You're not arrived enough yet to get it. And therefore, there's some things you're going to have to trust me for until you can get to the place that you can grasp it, you can understand it. And that's where faith comes in. We trust Him because we know He has the answer. And one day we will grasp it with God's help in this life or the life to come. The Bible has a lot to say about hypocrisy and hypocrites. As a matter of fact, probably 9/10 of hypocrites are not in church. Someone said, define a hypocrite then. When it comes to the scripture terms. Well, an example of a hypocrite would probably be like this. And I thought, when a person says that he is good as anyone else and can convince someone else to believe him when he's not as good as anyone else, that person is a hypocrite. On the other hand, though, listen. On the other hand, when he has no ability to convince someone else that he's good as anyone else, but he's convinced himself, he saves himself from the charge of being a hypocrite because he's the only one who knows it. Amen? He hasn't convinced anyone else, but he said it. He convinced himself, or he tells himself. No one else believes it. So in the eyes of that, there can be he cannot be a hypocrite. He's just deceived. But once he convinced someone else that truth, the masquerade that's been put on him, and that person suddenly is deceived, then that one who did the convincing of something that's not there is the hypocrite, him or herself. The hypocrite is the person that does not do right, but wants to make everybody think that they are doing right. And that's where God puts the mask on, or He said, you put the mask on, and we put the mask on, and we become a hypocrite in our living. So to obey God practically means many mysteries are very plain to us in obedience. One of the factors in the age of grace today is that we don't understand a lot of things about God is because there's simply not obedience in the things that God tells us to do. We pick our obedience and don't just obey across the board when we know that we should do just that. The fact in God is kept by experience. It's not logic. God said, come together, let's reason, but God is not out to form some type of logical thing. He wants to have a relationship. Relationships are more than just logic. They are real in life. God has planned this world to excite man to intellectual activity, but not at his expense. We live in a very knowledgeable age today, but they're leaving God out completely in most places. and he doesn't want to activate this intellectual activity and at his expense. I thought about when you talk about doubt and unbelief. Unbelief puts our circumstances between God and us. Doubt is that we just don't know what's going on, don't have all the facts. But unbelief puts our circumstances literally between God and us. But faith changes that. Faith puts God between us and our circumstances. So we know as we look at Him, no matter what happens in the circumstances, God's going to see to it, it's going to come out right. It may look the worst to the physical eye, but in the end result, God's going to see to it, it comes out right. We're missing that today when our hearts are broken. Let me give you two quick thoughts about theological truths that are scientific. Number one, simply this, most great discoverers have great doubts before the discoverer is made in the physical world. We talk about the field of science. I don't guess there's ever been anything in the field of science somewhere or another that you found that there was great doubt and seemed like failures. Now think about here in Thomas Jefferson talking about the electrolyte, the number of times he failed, but the last time he got it right. I went back and looked, Galileo, he declared that the earth rotates around it on its axis. That was in the 16th century. He was called a heretic. He was laughed at. He was mocked because of that. They tried to make him retract his statement. In those days, he refused to do so. And today, ladies and gentlemen, every school child knows this truth. Anybody in school, if he's not in school, may not. But anybody knows in school, any period of time of study knows that the earth rotates on its axis. Then we move on and we see William Harvard discovered the blood circulated in the body in 1628. When he came out with this so-called fact, which they called a theory, they tried and convicted him as a heretic. But today he's honoring medical science because he proved something that one said didn't work, did work, won't true, was true. I looked at James Watt. He discovered the steam and about steam. It had power. You could harness it in the late 1700s. George Stephenson constructed a steam engine. And at this particular time, no one thought it would work. This world looked on it, ready to ridicule him. And all of a sudden, they were surprised, according to the Ark I read, that this thing really worked. And suddenly, we got locomotives and things moving across the country under steam. And all I heard about the Morse code. Morse discovered that man could chain electricity to a wire where people miles apart could talk to each other. When he came up with that, they called him a pretender. He was foolish. But who doubts it today? In fact, we don't have to have a wire today. They moved from that to where we're at today. And we can go on and on. All great discoverers had their doubts sooner or later when you look at the scientific world. But they were proven. So we say, how can you say that compared to the theological situation you're talking about God? Because, ladies and gentlemen, nearly 2,000 years ago, the blood of Jesus Christ started washing sinners from their sin. Now, that's the thing of faith. They say, well, that's all it is faith, and you can't observe it, and you can't study it, and you can't practically experience. Don't tell me you can't. It's got to be through the eyes of faith, though. Today, there is much opposition from people in science as ever along this line. Yet, the best of the earth stands up. Now, I say the best on this earth in human beings stands up and testifies to the saving power of Jesus Christ. Not only have they observed it, not only have they studied it, but they have experienced it, and they stand up in the midst of society and speak for truth about who Jesus Christ is, and still people deny it, call us foolish. Many scoff at it, laugh at it, doubt at it, as when it's proclaimed in words, and 2 Peter 4 tells us to do just that. The science of math is an amazing thing. It can be tested. About everything you're involved in, somehow or another, has to do with math somewhere or another in its founding. The science of math can be tested. Look what that alone has done for people in our age. Well, so can the facts of theology be tested about God. I guarantee you He's more real than anything else He's ever made. That's real physically, but it's going to dissolve one day. He's eternal. He will never dissolve. And by the way, the New Jerusalem will never dissolve. The street of gold will never dissolve. Everything He's making beyond this life out of the physical world, it's not in matter as we know of it today. It's never going to dissolve. Sin will not affect it because there'll be no sin there in that particular day. And so theology can make a change. And when you look what that has done for people. The study of God and His universe. Look what that's done for people. And so we ask the question, have you ever trusted Jesus as your Savior? If you've not, why not? Will you? Why? Because we have the facts about Jesus. God said from heaven, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We see also that in 1 Timothy, Paul, writing to Timothy, made this statement in chapter 2, and in verse 4, he said, who would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, we can tell you about Jesus Christ, and God backs it up with His Word, who is the authority. And as He does that, you have the facts spiritually. You do God's will, and the doubts will flee. If you deny His record, there's no ground for future discussion. Once you and I give the gospel to this world and they deny it, we have no ground for future discussion. Do you know that? If it's denied, it is literally wasted of time once they deny it and say, I will not in unbelief. I will not believe what you say about Him. It's a difference in unbelief and doubt. If it's doubt that needs to be dissipated, this book will do it as long as they'll listen. But once they come with a heart of unbelief, there's nothing that will change that except the Word of God. And since they don't believe the Word of God, then you're going to find, though it's powerful, it'll do what it did in Athens in the book Acts 17. It'll just literally be looked at as no power at all. Very few trusted Christ when Paul went to Athens and preached on Mars Hills. You go to Thessalonica and many got saved. They believed the Word. The Bereans believed the Word and took the Bible scriptures and studied to see if it was so. But when Paul went to Acts, and I've said so many times, the same apostle with the same power, with the same Word went there, but they had a heart of unbelief. And therefore, the Word of God did not penetrate those hearts. And they'll end up in hell. One of them heard it on that hill that day. They'll end up in hell who didn't believe it, because they'll find out too late what Paul said was more real than all the rest of them put together. And so now, 2,000 years ago, we give today facts that happened in that particular day. If you deny His record, there's no ground for future discussion. You do God's will, the doubt will flee. Peter tells us that. Facts destroy unbelief about science and also about theology. When you and I look at those things, theological facts, hear me, and I believe this, theological facts are as scientific as any other science to the believer, especially. To the unsaved, theological has nothing to do with it, except as a means of fantasy for those who are looking way out of trouble. But to you and I who are saved, it's just as real, and the facts are just as important and just as scientific to us through faith as any other science in this world. They are of a different sphere which opens up by faith. Romans 10:17 said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Theologies are God's revelation to divine truth. God's truth have been given to us three ways. We observe truth, working in others. We study truth from the Scripture God has preserved for us. And then we experience truth by making it applicable in our lives, but believing God and obeying Him and what He says do. That is called faith. I've been working on a message of faith. Faith is amazing to me, folks, because we don't even understand how powerful it is. Paul said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11. In other words, hope is at the end of what we're looking at. We know Jesus Christ. If you look at the great gap of sin that separates God and man, and we stand on this side, look across the gap, over on the other side, and God is showing us that Jesus Christ is our hope. The only way to get beyond that breach, beyond that gap of sin, is through Jesus Christ. And that's the way it is with everything else. Everything that you and I face in life, the object of it is the hope. The hope. Not like the world sees, but there's a hope. That's the object. What is it? Your job, your money, whatever it is a hope. But when you look at that, that in itself don't bring it to you. Faith does that. Faith is the ladder that takes us from here to our object. And that's what God tells us, that faith is that ladder that gets us to the object. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Please God. So that tells me anybody who don't believe in God has no faith. Biblical faith. So anyone who looks at God without eyes of faith. Somebody said, well, you know, talking about Satan. He caused a lot of problems. And you say, well, Satan sure messed my car up this morning. Or Satan sure helped me lose my job. No, he didn't. Satan don't need our cars. He don't need our money. He don't need our job. He don't need our money. But he wants to destroy our faith. So what does he do? He does everything he can to destroy our faith in the things that we face. He's not looking at your job to sit down and start typing next week just because you lose it. What he's looking at to destroy our faith, so in turn, we won't be where we need to be and blame God for everything. Lord, I don't understand why these are happening to me. Well, if he can get us to blame God rather than trust God, then he's destroyed our faith. Satan wants to destroy our faith. That's all he cares about. Because that's the strongest thing we got. That's our economy with the Lord. That's how we get things, by faith. Trust in God for everything. Satan, don't come to me with your lies. I know what you're trying to do. In my worst circumstance that I've been, you're trying to get my eyes off the Lord. You're trying to get my eyes to be in a way of doubt and even to the place of unbelief because I don't believe God loves me enough now to things that happen like they did. That's all he's trying to do. He cares nothing about anything else except to cause our faith to lapse. And we don't have no economy in spiritual things when that happens because everything about God is by faith, ladies and gentlemen. And when we begin to trust him by faith, suddenly that which we hope for materializes as God brings it to us as we work towards through faith. See, faith in God for everything, everything, everything. And when it comes to us through the channel, because of the channel of faith, it's believing God at his word and God keeps his word. And that's more real than that light bulb burning. It is. It's more real than you sitting and I in this church here tonight. Theology of God are revelations of divine truth. And it's kind of, I've said before, it's kind of like there's a screen here. We come to a point and we come into, if I'd walk to that wall, I come to a point and I hit that wall and I can't see beyond that wall. But faith gives me that great ability to open the screen up. As God gives me the ability to see beyond that wall or beyond this life into a life that has to do with a different sphere so I can see the things of God. God helps me see, hallelujah, that when this life is over, that's not the end. I'm not going to die like a dog and go back to the ground. I'm not going to die like an animal. Why? God has opened a whole new sphere up for you and I. That's real. It's more real than anything this world has to offer. When this world is dissolved with the fire, purifying fire of God, we will still be alive and well in Jesus Christ. Theology of God's revelation of divine truth. And God's truth has been given to us in three ways. We observe it from God's word and what it's done for those in the past and what it's doing for people in this life. Then we study it and then we experience it. His word is truth in John 17:17. His son is truth in John 14:6. His spirit is truth in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. God's word is a gift to God's people. It enlightens us. It enables us. It encourages us. But you know what? We're so small lapse in faith. We're missing it. We don't know how to promise. We don't know how to claim it. The charismatics on one side has got to claim the name and claim everything and you look at what's happening there. I don't see too many of those people get filthy wealthy, do you? I find one once in a while, I get up and say, this happened. It always amazes me. It really amazes me how someone said, you know, I got a scarf for one of these fellows. And they prayed over it. And I took that scarf and I just trusted God for it. And he said, all of a sudden, you know what? I got my income tax back $2,000 2 weeks earlier. God had to do that. No, you'd have got it anyhow. You'd have got it anyhow. The government's not broken yet. You'd have got it anyhow. Folks, you'd say, well, it came when I needed it. Well, when you got it, you'd have needed it. I don't care when you'd have got it. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, it's amazing how these men are building, women are building kingdoms on deception when it comes to how one works and how God works. His word enlightens us, encourages us, and enables us. God gives us His Word through His Son in John chapter 17, verse 8. God gives us His Word through His disciples, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired of God. And God gives us His Word through to us in 2 Peter chapter 1. And He said in verse 20 and 21, when He made this statement, He said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We learn God's truth through His Word with our mind. That's where you have to study it. We love God's truth with our heart. We live God's truth day by day with the will that God has given us. That helps me pick up these three qualities here. Observe God's truth, study God's truth, and experiment God's truth. The same ingredients with God's truth in the realm of faith as the world says you have to have in the realm of science. Except they say, we can see this. Hey, you're missing out something. Brother, you get the Holy Spirit of God and you'll find out what God says is such as things hoped for. Faith is such as things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. God's Word enlightens us. God's Word enables us. God's Word encourages us. Look with me in Romans chapter 3 just a moment. Turn, I want your eyes to see this. In Romans chapter 3, verse 4, 3 and 4, this is what God says about unbelief. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid! Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. And it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sin, and mightest overcome them that are judged. In other words, God said, if some didn't believe, does that make it untrue? No, not at all. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Absolutely. God is simply saying, I don't care how much they look in the field of science and feel like we're more educated than you are and you're a bunch of religious fanatics. God said, if you are in unbelief, are you going to be surprised one of these days? Because everything that God has set forth, He said, God forbid, let God be true and every man a liar. Theological truths are scientific through two believers. When it comes to our era looking at faith, not maybe like the world looks at it, but the same thing as far as evaluating this, because science is systematic knowledge derived from observation, study, and experimentation of something. And I'm telling you, God gives us those three ingredients when it comes to theological facts too, as we look in this world of faith. They can be observed as we look in others. They can be studied as we look in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And Paul told Timothy to study the Word of God. And they can be seen and experienced as you experience it. I'll tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. When I got saved in 1957, when I trusted, 1959, September 27, 19, when I got saved, a lot didn't seem to happen to me at that time. I just trusted Christ. But I'll tell you this, after 48 years, soon be 49 this September, following the Lord, I look back now and I see a lot of change. I see a lot of things that are different. The Word of God will do that. Change comes by studying, observing, and experimenting, practicing, in practice of life, of serving God. And when one fails to do that, then their faith is not... The hope has been shattered and there's no bridge of faith. Hey, if you don't have a hope, where are you going to go to walk about there? Where's it going to lead you? To nothing. If there's not something there that the goal to go to, what good is faith? It leads you to nothing. You're just walking out, I'm walking by faith. Where are you going? There's no goal to go to. God set forth the goal. I mean, a person will say this, hey, I got faith, I'm going to get my paycheck this week. Why? The paycheck's the goal. So you're trusting that you work 40, 50 hours a week. You're trusting that you're going to get that at that end of the week. But if you don't know that, you're just walking out into nothing. Amen? Amen? What did I leave you at tonight? Did I leave you when I first started? Same way with God. There's got to be an object of that hope. Listen, it's not the faith in itself, it's the object. That's the reason we know things are real. What God has said is our object. What Christ is our object. He is our hope in this life. And faith is the way that God lets us go to Him. How's that? God tells us about it. We say, God, you're right and we're wrong. And by faith, we receive Him. You'd be surprised to just get Courtney's down and look at the word faith, high shoes. Little faith, much faith, great faith, weak faith. A lot of things said about faith. Let's leave tonight saying, God, help me have the goal set right. That you have, not only that I'm saved first, secondly, that I want your will. What your will is the goal, and let me by faith approach it for the glory of God. And when you give me something that you say do, don't let me make an excuse for it. Let me do it for your glory. For that in turn will strengthen my faith more and more and more. Obedience is that which pleases God. And it's in turn where God desires. And I've said it so many times. How many times, how much more will you do for your children when they obey you than when they will not? There's not a parent in here that had withheld something from their children simply because they refused to obey. But you give them everything you've got when they obey. If you love them. And God loves us. And he'll do the same. He'll give us everything. In God's case, he'll give us what he knows we can handle. We may not know what our children can handle, but we do anything within our power to give them what we can to help them if they obey us. And same way with God. Father, I want to thank you tonight for the study. That no one helped but me. I've got much out of this about faith. And I thank you tonight as I listen to the world, hear it all the time on news medias and the history channels and the different walks of life nowadays. In fact, people who believe in God have kind of a fictitious God. There's no biblical grounds. It amazes me how that people will talk about Jesus Christ and sometimes mention as trusting him, but most of the time it's not trusting to be saved. It's trusting him as some type of means of enhancing them to get wealth in this world. Now, Lord, I know you own it all. You said you supply our needs. You said we can do all things through Christ. We believe that. And I pray if there's any place on this earth that you can get your word to our hearts, to embed them in deep in our hearts, to make changes in our life, it be here. Thank you tonight for this study. And I pray as we look at these theological facts that God gives us about himself, that we would set forth that we trust you and believe that more so than what the world says about scientific facts, when most of it is theory. Now, Lord, I'm glad that in the world of medicine and technology, many things have been found that helps us. Praise your name for that. I really believe, Father, that you did that for your people in a world that sin was all the time hating you and your people. And yet, because of that, you give something to relieve the pain for your children, and the world benefits from it. I really believe that. I believe God in his mercy and grace is doing things to help his children while they're here get through this world, and then the world benefits from it. And so tonight we come to you thanking you for that. But never let it get to the place we believe something physically in this world because they say it's scientific and not believe the theological truth of God's word. And we'll thank you for that this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.